Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Hello and welcome to the Over Under Achievers. I'm one of your hosts, Lex McCoy, and joining me as always, he alleges that Ohio State, Rutgers, and Purdue shared his signals. So really, if everyone's cheating, is anything cheating? It's Jason Waterfalls.
Purdue's in on this now too? Let's all take a deep breath.
I'm torn here, man, because Michigan was obviously cheating, right? Which, like, allegedly. I'm not, as a former Tom Brady fan, you know, I'm not going to throw stones in the glass house, even though we could have a side conversation about how I just felt like it was ball preference, it wasn't cheating, whatever, whatever. But I'm like, I'm not scandalized, right? I'm not like, I the audacity of human beings and like, is anything real? Is anything true? I don't really care, right? But I'm torn. Does this reek of like big tattletale energy, or is it like, hey, actually, there was a cabal of middling Big Ten teams trying to take us down, and if you're going to get mad at us, then you have to get mad at everybody about everything.
I think that here's my two stances. Number one, Michigan got better all of a sudden. Yeah? Beat Ohio State 2 years in a row. That's probably because Urban Meyer's gone, right?
Maybe.
Number two, do you want to look under all these rugs, Big Ten teams? Yes or no? Because just like you just said, if you want the scandals to start coming out and the stuff going on that is, let's call it fringe to be safe for now, you might not like everything that comes out. NIL and the portal is not going to cure everything that comes out if this investigation goes all the way for all the teams.
It is. It's a pretty interesting, hey, Big Ten Commissioner, you're new here and we're so happy that you're here. If you want to hear all the dirty laundry, I just need you aware there's a lot of skid marks here. And do you want to make that public? Are you comfortable with that? Because we are comfortable if you're comfortable with it. I mean, it's a good point. I hadn't even thought of the Michigan got really good all of a sudden of it all that you just mentioned. But it was that, like, there was that inflection point of like, hey, Jim Harbaugh, we're going to humiliate you by making you take a pay cut. And all this stuff happened. And then that season, the idea was like, well, he just got super motivated and they just got really good and they recruited, you know, to beat Ohio State more and like to be a tough program. But what if it was also they have like spy ops now? What if that's part of the conversation?
And they sat him down for buying a cheeseburger for a kid or whatever the situation was. Yeah. Missed multiple games. Obviously, like you said very, very early on, people are against Jim Harbaugh at Michigan and Michigan might be against Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. So you take those couple things together and all of a sudden you've got kind of an interesting thing where Michigan got beat by TCU. And besides that, they've kicked like every other team's butt.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You're going to tell me that Illinois is not stealing signs from other teams? You're going to tell me that Rutgers, who's playing everyone kind of well, very well in the first half, is not doing something kind of sketchy under Greg Schiano? Like, there's plenty to unpack here if we want to. There's a reason the Big Ten commissioner left the Big Ten commissioner job to go to the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Who knows what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe don't use all the biggest shovels all the time.
When you lift the rock, you're going to see some gnarly things. Is the Big Ten ready to see some gnarly things? I want them to. And it's not that I'm like, man, I want all these people exposed. I just kind of want to know what everybody's getting up to. What's everybody doing? I do think if Michigan, if you're listening, I know you are. If you really want to do this, and I think you do, you need to start alleging that Ryan Day's beard is not real. Okay. That's where I want this to get personal. I think that's
And I want it to be like off brand. It's not just for men.
Yeah.
It's just for me and my friends or something like that. What's
maybe
the off brand?
Just for maybe for guys. What did you come up with? What did we come up with? Theirs, THAIRS. It's like,
yes,
someone else.
We were saying theirs, and then someone submitted THAIRS.
What a great name. I hope
that's what he's using.
That's good stuff.
You know, this whole investigation reminds me of Curse of Oak Island, and here's why. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. But the more places you dig, the more stuff you're going to find. It doesn't mean you find gold. You might find another button. You might find another tin cup. But guess what? The more places you dig, the more things you're going to find. So be careful, Big Ten, of what you want to do here. And it's just the truth of what everybody's saying. This is not an original thought at all. Guess what? Michigan, the Big Ten, Michigan looks awesome. They ain't doing anything in this football year.
No.
They are waiting until after. If Michigan loses again like they did to TCU, I'm telling you what, that's when the news is going to come out. Be like, well, we couldn't get it done. Big Ten, no national championship, so just release the hounds.
You know,
and then do what they got to do through the offseason.
I kind of think, what if we, like, backroom deal, you know, like Hamilton style, the room where it happened, we go Jim Harbaugh, we go a Michigan administrator, and we go Big Ten commissioner and Roger Goodell, and we're like, hey, we're going to like do slap on the wrist, and Jim Harbaugh is going to agree to coach the Chicago Bears. That's his punishment. He has to go to the Bears. He has to leave Michigan and coach the Bears. And everyone hurts a little bit, but we all get to maintain.
Not Bears fans.
Well, watching
and now that I'm thinking about it, joining the commissioner at the Bears for Harbaugh, which is like the most likely place for him to go as a head coach, that makes it even sketchier. All of this.
I don't want to watch Jim Harbaugh coach Justin Fields. I don't want Justin
Fields. Spoiler alert. He won't be coaching Justin Fields for very long. I can tell you that right now.
Old Ty Ty Bagent. Like, I love everyone trying to boost him up as like, this guy, he's got something. He doesn't. He has nothing. He has a good personality and he's probably a good kid, but he's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Okay. Everybody settle down.
When in my mind, I describe you as Heinicke light, and I like Taylor Heinicke. I like Taylor Heinicke, but when I describe you as Heinicke light, you know that, you know, backup, maybe
that's not a compliment.
It's not a compliment.
Right.
It's not a full compliment. Let's say that. Not a full compliment.
Right. Right.
It's positive gaslighting. Let's say that.
I want to say credit to us, credit to you, credit to me for not making more content based around it being Heinicke season with the Falcons. You know, RIP Desmond Ritter and the whole situation experiment. But I'm loving it. I'm loving when I flip over and I see Heinicke flying it around.
I want to. It's just that I don't think that the magic, this is Taylor Heinicke is Ryan Fitzpatrick light, and the Fitz magic is not involved with Taylor Heinicke. And I'm tired. I'm not betting on the Falcons. I'm not going to do it.
You know, I think to what you're saying, the reason I haven't been like so full throated in my enthusiasm about Taylor Heinicke is
that's a phrase.
It is. He does seem like the complete opposite of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, you know, has a style, has a razzle dazzle about him, but like you feel very comfortable liking him, right? You feel like this is a guy who has been vetted. He's cool. He's an Ivy Leaguer. He's a family man. Everything's chill. Taylor Heinicke, I don't know anything about him. I do worry about if I lift the rock up, what am I going to find? I don't know. Probably not cool stuff is my supposition. So I'm just not going to lift the rock up. I'm just going to be like, thanks for putting up some points finally for the Falcons.
The best thing to support your case there is Taylor Heineke's favorite quarterback of all time and who he plays like is Brett Favre.
Okay. Yeah.
So Brett Favre life. And if that's your idol at this point, then maybe you're correct in alleging that you don't want to know what's under that rock until
you have. Is Brett Favre the greatest quarterback of all time, comma, greatest vibe quarterback of all time, if you only evaluate him from what he does on the field during the game? If you never look into anything else beyond that, is he like the greatest vibes quarterback of all time?
Well, no, because you know who mine is, and I try to keep it on the field with this individual, but it is tough to fully argue on the field only with Michael Vick.
Yeah, I mean, he is that. It's a bit. The ceiling's very high. The floor is very low.
We're talking about a little bit of money fraud, which could have affected a lot of people, and then we're talking about an absolutely awful legit dog fighting ring.
Yeah.
It's still one of the craziest stories of all time. His nickname was Michael Vick's off the field name, secret name was Ron Mexico. Man, between those lines,
I feel like there's something there though of like, it's almost like the stick to sports group where it's like, if we just stuck to sports, here's how it changes the dynamic for these players. Like I feel like Dan Marino's on this list where what an a-hole, like in life, everywhere he goes. But I feel like if you just look at him on the field, you're like, what a competitor, what a gritty guy, you know?
On the field and in Ace Ventura, you've got to give credit to Dan Marino for Ace Ventura.
That's true. He also was in Little Nicky. Please respect Adam Sandler and his name because he shows up in hell. And I think he's asking Satan, like, I think he made a deal with Satan. I don't want to spoil Little Nicky for everybody, but like, so go ahead and like fast forward. But he like was like, what's the status of our deal? I didn't win a Super Bowl and I did make a deal with you, devil. And the devil's like, LOL, emoji shrug, you know?
So, gotcha.
Yeah, that's Little Nicky. Maybe we should do a rewatchable of Little Nicky soon. We'll put that on the calendar, you know, for post-football season. Okay, man. Well, we're let's go ahead and get into it. We, in our Monday episode, in our Source State Cut, we kind of were noodling around this idea of hot knot or tater tot with NFL coaches. And we didn't, like, we couldn't find it in the moment. But I said, like, you know, let us take it off screen a little bit and we'll figure out like where we want to go with this. I have put together a bit of an index if you would be so kind to allow me to present that.
Dr. Knox went into the lab, huh?
You know, I thought there's systems, there's procedures, there's always a way to understand information and data. And I was really taken with the idea of coaches who are both like aesthetically hot, but also professionally hot, coaches who are not aesthetically hot and not professionally hot. And then that like middle class of just tater tots, right? And again, the tater tot is the symbol of the, no one wakes up and writes to their diary about wanting tater tots. It's a thing you settle with. You never intend to get the tater tot. You talk yourself into the tater tot. And I think there's a class of coaches, who really like symbolize the tater tot ideology.
I don't know if this is a tater tot, but the first person that comes to my mind in all of this is Patrick Warburton.
Okay.
Patrick Warburton is not the hottest guy on the planet, but he's not ugly. He's not the first guy you wake up and you think about Ryan Gosling. You think about all these other people. You think about Margot Robbie. You think about all these more famous people. But then you're just like, man, Patrick Warburton constantly has a place in my life, you know?
He's safe.
So I'm wondering, is that kind of accountable? Like, is that a tater tot situation?
No, you know, let me, here's kind of how I try to define it, right? Like, so in the scale that we're talking about, I've got double hots. Okay. And these are people who are
double
good at coaching.
I gotta write this down. Hot. Double hot.
And they're physically hot. If you want to think of like an avatar for this, you could also call this like the Eric Taylor category. Okay. He's a good coach. He's also a hot man. You disagree with his coaching or his
coaching? He's a gorgeous individual.
I mean, look, people don't talk enough about, he kind of, you know, he went to college. He was like, I don't know if he was OC or like quarterback's coach, and he was really eager to like leave, you know? And if I'm doing a great job somewhere, like at an elevated plane, I don't know that I'm like, hey, I'm excited to go to a lower. If I'm killing an all Madden dog, I'm not going to be like, you know what? I should go back to rookie mode.
Okay. This is fun. Can I agree with you wholeheartedly there? That being said, sometimes we would go back a level when we just needed to try out some new plays or some new schemes.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Eric Taylor's coaching career. And I just also want to say, normalize playing on rookie mode, especially middle age, when you just need a win. you just need a win.
You just don't get it.
No. I'm saying, if he's killing it at Madden, there's no reason to go back. But if you're just a guy in the world trying to live your life, trying to make people happy, trying to do your job, right? And you probably don't feel like you're doing good at any of those things. If you want to fire up the old Xbox or PS, whatever number we're at now, and you just put it at rookie mode and you want to dump truck somebody 210 to six, it's okay. You're not less of a man. You're not less of a person. You're not less of a woman. Doesn't matter. Sometimes you need those wins. Sometimes you need those, like those huge wins where you just like dog walking people digitally speaking, not real life people. But sometimes you need that. And I think we should normalize that as a culture.
Speaking of dog walking people digitally, we got into this, my other group that texts, more often and responds on time.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah. We got into this game called Coffee Golf and I thought it was all fun and games. And then you know what? They started talking some ish. And so I've been taking it real seriously now.
What is Coffee Golf? What does that mean?
Mobile app. I know you're not a big mobile app gamer, but it's something a little bit. We do Wordle. We do connections. We do the dozen daily trivia.
Yeah.
And now Coffee Golf. Some smack was talked and they ignited a video game fire. Let's just say that your boy's going low each day.
You're like Kendra on the season of Survivor. You have a rage in you. You have a competition, like Daniel Plainview. I have a competition inside me. Can I just say for a second?
Fully ignited.
I'm really in awe of people who, and I feel like you're one of these people, who have like a beginning of day routine where it really feels like one of these survivor challenges where Jeff Probst is like, first you do this, then you do this. 30 minutes later, you'll do this. Then you'll have to phone a friend and do this. And just like hearing about all the games and all the brain exercises you guys are doing, it makes me really tired. I'll be honest with you guys.
I got to tell you, I'm the opposite. It's not, and it's not always in the morning for me. It's not a strong routine, but I've got to do these things to keep the brain from just absolutely melting away. Like these things are encouraging my brain activity as they allege, yada, yada, yada. But if I didn't do these, my brain would just become mush. So it's not about being exhausted or not being exhausted, because sometimes I just completely fail them.
Sure. But
these exercises, mental exercises, are keeping... We're old now, Knox. I mean, you just got to admit it. And you got to do things to keep yourself in shape. Sure. Mentally.
Okay. So that's double hots. Professionally hot, personally hot. You have just regular hots. Okay. And this is... there's a quantumness to this definition, because they can either be physically hot, but not as good at coaching, or really good at coaching, but not really physically hot. Okay. And then there's some categories we'll get into in a second. And then we have the double knots. These are bad coaches and they're ugly. And these are tater tots. And these are people who are neither good at coaching or physically attractive people.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know your favorite sparkling water, Bubbly? Well, guess what? It just got better because Bubbly is growing its family. That's right. Bubbly now has Bubbly Burst. Bubbly Burst is a sparkling water beverage with extra fruit flavor. An extra burst of fruit flavor for an extra burst of fun. There's zero sugar added. It's low calorie. It's the refreshing bubbles that you love in Bubbly, but it's 1% juice. Each sip is filled with flavorful refreshment that adds a burst of fun and happiness to your day. And just like choosing amongst your favorite child, it's impossible. There's so many good flavors. Peach mango, triple berry, cherry lemonade, watermelon lime, pineapple tangerine, and tropical punch. I can't choose a favorite. But don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself today. Find Bubbly Burst in a store near you.
I'm going to go category by category. You push back on me if you disagree with physical aesthetic or professional capability. Okay.
Deal.
Okay. So double hot category. We have Sean McVay. We have Daniel Campbell. We have D'Amico Ryans. We have Mike Vrabel. We have Kyle Shanahan. And then this is a little bit, this might be a flashpoint here, flashpoint argument. We have Mike McDaniel. How do you feel about the double hots?
I'm wondering if Mike McDaniel,
let's just say it, he's not, there's not like a ton of facial symmetry, traditional attractiveness with Mike McDaniel.
I'm not worried about that. It's the second hot with him and with, my gosh, this is the second podcast and you just said his name, Titans. I cannot remember.
Mike Vrabel.
Okay. That is just some kind of, see, this is why I have to do those mental exercises, right? I mean, like, okay, you just said Mike Vrabel and I couldn't
maybe do more. Maybe you need to do like a whole morning. Clear my morning, Barbara. I'm doing all mental. I'm wordling all morning, ma'am.
Carl is the name of my assistant. Just so
oh,
you know.
Sorry. Okay.
It's okay. And I think Vrabel and McDaniel have not earned it yet. I don't know. If when you list all those other people, man, you got to include Dan Campbell in there all of a sudden.
Yep.
If you're going to say that, but those are the two that stuck out to me. I think Dan Campbell has grossly overachieved. Yep. I think that Vrabel has achieved.
Okay.
To put him in the double hot, I'm having a hard time fully arguing against it, but those are the first two names that came to mind.
So you have no physical hotness questions with this group. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, okay. All of them. Zero concerns with all of them.
Okay, if this was 8 Mile and you were rap battling and you knew that Papa Doc was going to come in and like really hit you on some person to be like, actually, they're not hot, but like in a rap battle style, who would you expect that to be? Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, it's going to be Mike McDaniel, but there's so much nerd that he has been able to cultivate. It's like instead of having all of these like spider webs,
it's Seth Cohen hot, you know?
Yeah, it's like instead of having all these spider webs that go all over the place, he's able to like shoot them out of his wrist like Spider-Man. He's able to control all that spider webness in a way that's like, okay, this is not the hottest individual in the world, but there is swag there.
Yeah.
He pulls off the pants that are like short and shows his ankles.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, spoiler alert out there, I'm one of them. There's a lot of people that don't pull it off. Okay.
Right.
I'm not saying don't try it. You do you, but there's a lot of people not pulling it off. Mike McDaniel is pulling it off. And the fact that he had that kid that dressed up with him with the watch and all, and then started running, he is just absolutely solidified on the hot scale now. So it's just the second hot that I wonder about with some of these individuals.
Two things. He's flying a little close to the sun with those sunglasses he wears on the sidelines. That's a little over his skis, but he's handling it right now, so it's okay. Secondly, you allege that there are figures in the Spider-Verse that instead of webs coming out of a concentrated point of their body, they just explode out of all of their orifices. Is that something know for sure, or you're speculating?
No, I'm not saying like that specifically to the canon. I'm saying that like imagine just a very large spider web, right? It's all over the place. It could catch any fly, but you could also fly right through it.
Are you talking about like a condensed just like ball of spider webs that's like flying like a cannonball?
Let's triple down on this. You know how some Spider-Mans actually shoot it out of their wrists and some have mechanisms that are on their wrists?
That's right. Yeah.
That's always bugged me. Like it's got to be one. It's
like, dog, you're Iron Man now all of a sudden. Okay. You're not Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you're Iron
Thank
Man.
You. Thank you.
You're Batman essentially, right? What's the difference between Batman and like a spider, like a mechanically enhanced Spider-Man? I don't like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
But I do
All
like
of it
this
should
call.
Come out of the wrists.
I think we should write a character where the spider person, they can't control the web. It just explodes out of all their orifices and someone's like, whoa, what's that? What's going on here?
Hear me out.
Okay.
A radioactive spider bites somebody, but then they wear an Iron Man suit that's all black and they fight at night. Let's combine these characters. I'm sure there's already like Lionheart or some other character that's already exactly what Blue Beetle. It might be Blue Beetle. That is exactly what we're describing here.
What about Yes And? Radioactive spider bites you on the nose. You can't shoot out your wrist. You got a snot rocket. Spider webs at people. And it's just called like spider, snot rocket.
Okay. We both have extreme allergies. You're only good at crime fighting when pollen is the highest.
I love it. They're like, let's send that man into the Appalachian Mountains in the spring and he will destroy everyone.
Okay, but think about this. Think about all the Zyzel commercials that are on TV, right?
Yeah.
Now we've got tie-in. This is going to be a Super Bowl commercial thread that goes throughout that this is Zyzel Man. This is Sneeze Man.
Okay. I mean, I think if pharmaceuticals start sponsoring superheroes, I think that's a great place for the world. That's good for everybody, you know?
I'm kind of into that.
Herpes guy. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be good. Okay. So that's double hots. Let's just go regular hots. So this either means the person, the names I read, they're either physically hot or professionally hot. They can't be both, but they have to be one. Okay.
Okay. So I'm looking for someone that's either none or two. Anybody that's one fits the bill.
That's exactly right. Okay. Matt LaFleur. Okay. Physically hot, not professionally hot yet.
I agree.
Andy Reid. Although you could make a case.
No, double hot. He's automatically out of this category.
Well, okay. Part of me wanted to make the case that there's a dad bod essence to him that makes him very comfortable hot, you know?
But he's comfortable in his own skin. He wears Hawaiian shirts. He looks freaking like a walrus. He has a mustache that's amazing. He waddles around. Everybody loves him. All he does is talk about cheeseburgers. Like, he is peak male performance when you think about dad bod, everything like that. This is a double hot individual.
Okay, I'm open to it. You're getting very aggressive with your language. I'm okay. I love your passion. Love your enthusiasm.
Sir, your hands.
I think there's a bit of a Jerry from Parks and Rec where it's like, he's just him, but then somehow he's married to a supermodel. I don't understand, but it implies hotness. So I will hear that with Andy Reid, and I'll reallocate him
to double hots, if that's what we agree on.
Jerry Gary is always screwing up. Andy Reid never screws up.
He used to with the clock in the Broncos 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, and still does with the clock sometimes. And definitely he's cruising. But
maybe Parks and Rec just didn't go long enough. Maybe we didn't get to the era of Jerry Gary where he was like just crushing stuff and he's the mayor and he's a senator on the rise, you know?
I love that.
Okay, next up, Zach Taylor.
Ooh, I assume he's a good looking man.
I that's why I didn't say anything. That's why I left that pause. I want you to leave in the edit too, because I want people to fill in the blank with which hot is he, do you think?
He went to a Super Bowl.
He did.
I've been a lover. I've been a backer. I mean, lover is probably too strong. I've been a backer of the Bengals for a while when you and Andre were really ripping apart Zach Taylor and the Bengals. You're all in now. No doubt. I'm not saying otherwise. Gosh, that's hard. Is he?
Because he's the guy at the college reunion who comes back and he's right down the middle. He is a three wood right down the middle of the fairway, but just about 200 yards. Like, he didn't drive the green or anything, you know, but he's got an absolute, like a wife who is way more attractive than he is. And you're just wait, what's going on here? Like, you're not very charismatic. You're not very attractive. You just have like a,
but he
job.
Is a little bit, he's just not peak on any of these things.
Yeah. There's hints of everything.
Gosh, this one's hard because you can only be in one of the buckets, and he's like 75% in both buckets, but not 100% in either bucket.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm about to leave him. I can't figure it out. I'm about to leave him.
Okay. Kevin Stefanski. He's obviously physically attractive. We've talked about that beard enough. We're on the record about that.
We've seen glimpses on the field, but there's nothing on the field that makes him hot.
Yeah.
But the beard alone, he looks great in a hat. He looks great in Cleveland Browns colors.
He does. No one does. Even that alternate logo with like the Keebler elf guy. I don't, how is there a dog pound, but there's a Keebler elf? I don't know. Like, that just like marinates.
You're telling me that the ad writers can't mix the dog pound with Keebler elf and get this cross sponsorship situation going?
This is a great example of just because something has existed forever, where the name of our football franchise is the worst color. You can change it. Tradition is just like people, ghosts and old people bullying you into keep doing something that doesn't make sense anymore. And you can just be the Cleveland Keebler elves, or you can be the Cleveland dogs, or you can be the Cleveland guitars. It does not matter. You can change it. You don't have to be the worst color. You know,
my buddy Andy's going to be mad at me for this, but isn't the Browns named after the Bengals owner's dad or something like that?
It's something stupid. I will say, I don't know the specifics, but I just remember reading that and being like, well, that's dumb. And then moving on, you know? So,
well, and that family was like, we have a team named after us, but you know what? We're going to Cincinnati and we're going to have the Bengals. So that tells you everything you need to know about the name Browns.
Yeah. And you know what? Even like, credit Cincinnati, there's no Bengal Tigers in Cincinnati. Okay. I don't know that that's true, but I know that that's true. So like, you can call yourself whatever you want. It does not matter. I have Nick Sirianni. This is tricky because I think he's Philly hot, but I think Philly hot is not hot for the rest of the world.
Okay. New lexicon, Philly hot.
But he is coaching hot, right?
I don't know that he is.
Went to Super Bowl.
I understand. It's Zach Taylor. Gosh, who's hotter? Both went to Super Bowls, both lost.
I think Nick Sirianni professionally is hotter. I think Zach Taylor's personally hotter.
I'm agreeing. I think that they both get in because of each other.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's slight edge to Zach, physically, his body of choice, and then it's a slight edge to Sirianni on the field, because everybody made fun of him. He did some goofy things at the beginning, and then he's like started punching people in the face. And I do think that he is a good coach.
Yeah. And then the next two. This is kind of unproven, but I didn't know where else to put them. I've got Shane Steichen, not personally hot. Honestly, I had to look up a picture. I'd never seen what this guy looks like. I was like,
well,
I don't
you know remember him from the pow pow video or whatever it was.
No,
right?
That's Gannon. That's the thing. I know what he looks like.
Shane Steichen's the Colts. My goodness. Yeah. I swear these two people are the same people to me.
I know. They don't look alike though. I did think they looked alike, and that was going to deepen.
They don't look anything alike.
No, they don't. Shane Steichen looks like John Rubin, kind of like with that's a deep cut reference. No one's going to get. And then I've also got Brian Daboll. It's professionally, you know, you could talk me into the Andy Reid aspect, but I don't know that it's he's established himself enough physically to be hot like Andy Reid is.
I don't think he's established himself enough on the. He's early Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid was a great coordinator. And got a head coaching gig and was not bad. I mean, Andy Reid was way better than this is in year two, But year one, Daboll was really throwing some fastballs. And yeah. I just don't think that he's got the players to make it happen two years in a row.
That's the thing. I think he's good. I think his roster is trash. And they did a terrible job by him, helping him out. Before I go tater tots, I do have, there were hots, different variations of hots that needed to be included. But they were so segmented that I wanted to like subcategorize them. So I'll rip through these really fast because I think they're all, there's not really any contentious points here. I've got sugar father hots. Okay. These aren't sugar daddies. They're more responsible. You can trust them. They've proven it. You know, these are reliable, coaches who do have a little bit of hotness to them. They are a little older, but they do have some professionality to them. I've got John Harbaugh. I've got Doug Peterson. I've got Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll. Any issues with those?
I think this is a disservice to Mike Tomlin. Is the only thing I'm really hearing there.
He's 51, you know.
I don't care what his age is. He's so hot.
Big age is just a number guy over here, huh?
He's so professional.
May, December kind of stuff. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think Mike Tomlin goes to the double hot. I understand why you couldn't do that for the record.
Mike Tomlin goes, well, Mike Vrabel's got to be close to 50. I think Mike Tomlin and Mike Vrabel are tied at the hip. They're not doing it right now, but I trust them.
Mike Vrabel. Over or under 49?
Barely under.
Correct. 48.
Okay. That feels about right. So I'm gonna put Mike Tomlin on double hots, but he's been warned. Okay.
I think Kenny Pickett's been warned. You know what I mean? Like I saw a stat and it's like the most unfair stat of all time that CJ Stroud has more NFL passing touchdowns than Kenny Pickett does in 13 less games. I know.
He doesn't have an offensive line. I don't think he's good and he never will, but you know, let's like,
I think Kenny Pickett is destined to be a backup quarterback. He's like the new Chase Daniel or something, but
it's got a great vibe. He's going to be great in a locker room, but it's not it. You know, I've got American Psycho hot.
You had my interest. Now you have my attention.
Yes. Insert that from Django meme. I've got, and I'm looking for people who they're good at coaches in a certain light. They could be attractive, but there is a deadness to their eyes. That makes me distrust them. Okay. This is Sean McDermott. This is Kevin O'Connell for the Vikings.
Oh man. I was really ready for a Ron Rivera. So now I'm nervous of where he's going to end up falling in all of this.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, he's got serial killer vibes. I wish you hadn't have just said that because I loved all of like the purity that is Kevin O'Connell and Kirk Cousins together. And now Josh Dobbs, they're all just so nice and kind and interesting and not interesting.
That's how he gets you. He's like, hey, great job, buddy. Why don't you sit, you know, you sit in the back seat. I'm gonna put you in the trunk actually. It's okay.
Okay.
It's
but Sean McDermott is not doing that same internal rage train. Sean McDermott is doing an external rage train. You know what I mean?
He doesn't blink and he's staring at you while he snaps on the gloves and you're like, wait, what's happening? And it's over. It's over when that happens.
And he just keeps getting redder and redder.
Yeah. So let's go tater tots. These are middle of the ground. These are lukewarm. These are not physically hot. These are not professionally hot. They just exist. Okay. I've got Jonathan Gannon. I've got Frank Reich. I've got Arthur Smith. I've got Brandon Staley. I've got Bill Belichick. How do you feel about this?
All right. So here's what I'll say. I think Frank Reich is an extremely attractive man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I think he's a great coordinator. I think he's a good coach. And I think that makes him a tater tot is that you're constantly figuring out, do I go be a coordinator and then have the itch to coach? Or do I go be a head coach and try to prove that I can get over this hump? But I was a backup quarterback my whole life. And now I'm going to be a coordinator my whole life. It's a tough line. So I think tater tot's good for him.
You know, I'm glad you stopped here because he is a great example of, I think there is somebody, there are people, everyone wants to be the head coach and then you're the head coach and it either works or you get fired. And there are some people who are like, no, I need another shot at it. And there are other people, probably happier people who are like, you know what? I'm going to be a really good coordinator. And everyone's always going to be like, why don't you take a head coaching job? But I know I'm happy here and this is about where I need to be. And there's a contentedness about that. And I will say too, the whole point of this exercise is to try to encapsulate, like, I think this isn't just me. This is a conversational cultural thing. Anytime someone is hot and decent at what they do, they get plus points just because they're hot, right? We assume that they're better just because of how they look. And I think it's good to classify these people because it does feel, I don't know, it probably feels a little primitive, but I do think there's some value to being like, if you are schlubby and mediocre, there you are not going to last in this league. And it feels like it's not that simple, but I think sometimes it is kind of that simple.
And that's what we're doing here. We're turning visual on its head. Because if you're Andy Reid and you literally look like a human walrus, mm-hmm. we will love you so much if you win games. And if you don't win games, but you wear Hawaiian shirts and you talk about eating cheeseburgers all the time and you're hilarious and you do commercials with Patrick Mahomes on State Farm, then we will love you even more. It's not about only winning and it's not about only looking so freaking good, right?
Yeah.
Brandon Staley needs to be in the double knots. And I've stuck up for him as long as I can. There, that's your serial killer vibes right there. You want to pair somebody with Sean McDermott? That's somebody you pair with Sean McDermott.
See, originally he wasn't an American Psycho hot, but he's not good at coaching and he's not hot. So that was the issue. The big qualifier for double knots is if you're in that category, you're not head coaching again after this job. You're done here. And I can see someone talking themselves into Brandon Staley, even though I don't think that's a good move. And he's just not a good head coach. But for now, I feel like he's a tater tot. How do you feel about Bill Belichick being here?
I think that it's unwarranted. I think that it's your Tom Brady brain lashing out. I think that
Where you put him then?
No, hold on. I'm not done. I think you're gearing up for Tom Brady now that SBF is found guilty. Tom Brady, Shaq, others, just like Ryan Atwood, warned us
predicted. Yeah.
These people are going to go down too. Unfortunately, I don't have no idea how that the legality of that works. Bill Belichick has officially gone to regular hot, I believe.
So you can call him a sugar father hot?
That's the right place. That's the right place for him. You can't put him in. You can't put Bill Belichick in tater tot, I think is ultimately the bottom line.
If he was your head coach, would you be like, I'm psyched about the future. This is going to be great. Or are you just doing that because of past performance?
I think he's earned it. I really do. I'm going to have to answer your question with yes, past performance. However, you can put him in regular hot if you want, because on the field, he's hot. And that might be based on past performance, but it's just true.
For a guy who really made his reputation for cutting people the second they weren't maximum productive or even a little bit before, I feel like the best way to honor him would be to fire him like right as he's becoming mediocre instead of letting him like cruise for another year or two.
I feel like that's irony or not irony, or are you just trying to win your bet of him not coaching a single game next season? I don't know which one that is, but
I know it's one of them for sure.
He would respect it. You wouldn't hear from him for years, but then when you heard from him, he'd be like, yeah, that's my playbook. They followed it. I ingrained it in the Patriot way and they stuck to it.
Do you think after whatever happens with him, after he's done coaching, is he going to be the guy who suddenly is everywhere and he's like on the Amazon halftime show with Richard Sherman, or like we just never see him again?
I think we'll see him. But did you ever see the Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, NFL Network, this, that, or the other conversation that the two of them had?
Yes, it was excellent.
That's how we'll see him. He'll sign on with The Ringer and he'll sign on with some obscure media and just do like deep dives into punters that used to play lacrosse, or deep dives into kickers and trick plays that kickers ended up throwing the ball and why it was the right call at the right time. Like it'll be some kind of very weird deep dive where he gets to be super monotone and take it very seriously. Can you imagine him with Boomer Esiason?
No, I cannot. Part of me thinks like maybe he should zig and become like a erotic audiobook reader. You know, there's just a steadiness to that voice where it's like, they're not here for your voice, dog. They're here for the prose that gets them where they want to go. You know,
whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Okay, double knots, lastly. And again, this means won't head coach again after this job. We'll call this the Nathaniel Hackett, Josh McDaniels Memorial double knots category. I have Ron Rivera. I have Todd Bowles. I have Dennis Allen. I have Matt Eberflus. And I have Mike McCarthy. What do you think about that?
I am not certain of Mike McCarthy in that list. And then the other next one, how did Dennis Allen get this job? How is Dennis Allen keeping this job? And he's keeping it because like every other week, he kind of looks like a good coach. But the rest of them, absolutely. Those are, unfortunately, double knots. I actually think Ron Rivera is a very intriguing, attractive man.
Okay.
But then you think of what he does on the field constantly. He did have a 15-1 Carolina Panthers team that went to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
That's pretty good. You can't not give him credit for that. But then all the other years, not so good. And now the sitting duck bit that he is doing, because it's reality in Washington right now, it's getting more sad than it is funny. I want that on the record.
I wish he would just be like, look, we always play freestyle for the game and I get frozen and no one untags me. And that's why I look like that. I'd be like, that's weird, but it does explain it. So
before every game, my coordinators come up to me and they say, hey, Ron, here's a little challenge for you. I know you're a competitive guy. What if you don't move your face for the entire game? Bet you can't. And then we start the game.
I feel like it's the end of the road for him. And I feel like it's the end of the road for Mike McCarthy. I just don't think, he just seems like a lot. And I don't see any other owner wanting to get in bed with a guy who looks like, I don't know. He looks like Midwestern hillbilly, you know?
Stop saying Midwestern. We're not, And you have flyover states in your newsletter again. There's nothing wrong with Middle America.
Why can't I disparage the South, but I can't disparage the Midwest? I feel because like you're from the South. Midwest.
Yeah. You're attacking. No, you're not disparaging the Midwest.
I'm a citizen
you're
of the
not
world,
from
dog.
The Midwest.
I'm a citizen of the world. I know all places.
Okay,
all
then why did you bring up the South all of a sudden then?
Because you let me disparage the South, but you don't let me disparage the
Because you're from the South. You think you're of the world. You're from the South. You're of the South.
I'm a world traveler. When I vacation the Champs-Élysées, I often tell people I love being a citizen of the world, you know?
By the way, that picture that you sent me came up on my time hop of when you were in the Alps.
No, that was Phuket, dog. People mistake that a lot, but that's what that
Nelson Phuket, Max Verstappen's girlfriend's dad. I don't even know where Phuket, Thailand.
I think so. Yeah, that's what I meant by that. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the hot knot or tater tot scale. I feel like it's a work in progress. I feel like we'll revisit it. I do like the idea of applying this index to other aspects, like actors, celebrities, you know, TV hosts. So maybe we'll bring it back.
And that's the thing that you brought to the table here is that the other day we were talking about like, and you were like, no, it's just looks. It can't be just looks. It's got to be one extra thing. And that's where the tater tot comes into play.
I 100% agree. Okay. All right. Before we get to our King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread Payday pick, we want to remind everyone that we're recapping the season of Survivor. So if you want to make sure and get every episode of that recap, head over to KnoxMcCoy.com and support us there. The good thing is that supporting us means that you get all the newsletter content that is paywalled, as well as our Over Underachievers primetime feed, where we're dropping ADHD audio and episodes as well as now Survivor recaps. We're also, I announced this couple, I guess last week, I'm releasing my next book, Go to Bed Angry. It's a book about marriage, the bad marriage advice that we get. I'm releasing that behind the paywall as well. So if you're interested in any of those things, go to KnoxMcCoy.com and support us and the newsletter. Okay, Jason, it's time to advise the people on how to get a payday this weekend, brought to you by King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread.
There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday, someday. There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday.
Our picks for your next payday are just guesses. The only real guarantee in life is King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread. It won't make your family love you or your boss respect you, but it will be delicious, guaranteed. All right, Jason, what's your pick for a payday this week?
I'm doing a parlay. I know I've been telling myself not to, but it's two alt lines, okay? The Bills will be beating the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
In primetime at Buffalo. But I'm doing an alt line of -3. And the frisky Houston Texans are at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking alt line Bengals -3.5, alt line Bills -3.5 as a parlay together.
Okay. I like this. I like this.
So it's safer. It's safer than the current line, but I am putting them together. But I'm taking two home favorites with an alt line push down a little bit.
You know what I like about this? I like that you're taking two teams. I like taking the Bills after they've lost, because I feel like they're inspired. And I like taking the Bengals after the CJ Stroud and the Texans are going to get all the praise this week. And then I think the Bengals are just a good old fashioned beat down kind of team. And I feel like they win by like 12, you know?
These are also the four teams that I've had a ton of interest in over the years. I used to be a huge Broncos fan. Used to be a huge Texans fan. Had my eye on the Bengals for a while. I have a good buddy who's a great, awesome Bengals fan. And then, of course, my Buffalo Bills. This is where the uphill battle starts.
Okay, I've got three Stay Frosty games that I want to throw at you. And I look at these and I'm like, I don't like the smell. I don't like the look. I feel like the favorites should watch out here. I've got Clemson getting 14.5 at home with Georgia Tech. That's a noon game. Georgia Tech's frisky. They're weird this year. I feel like they can cover that pretty easily. I've got Tennessee giving 1.5 points at Missouri. Missouri also weird, very frisky. I feel like they're secret. I didn't think they were going to be very good at all this season. I think they're really good, actually.
And Tennessee also very weird. I don't know if they're frisky. I don't know if they're not frisky. And then they're going to be on the road at Missouri. I don't know if Missouri's going to be weird and frisky or if it's going to be Tennessee this week. Who freaking knows?
I feel like every year Missouri just kind of catches someone off guard and sucker punches them and wins. It was almost Georgia last year. It was almost Georgia last week. But I just like, watch out. Just like stay frosty with them. I've also got Florida State, Miami. Florida State is giving 14 points. I feel like Miami's pretty talented. I feel like they're pretty inspired. I feel like Florida State, they're number four in the poll now. This is a big trap game, big, not maybe necessarily like in real life, but I feel like in terms of the spread, watch out. So of those three, if you had to pick one of like, that's the one I'm going to take the dog on, would it be Miami, Florida State? Would it be Tennessee, Missouri, Georgia Tech, Clemson?
Oh man, I did not like that question because I don't like the dog in any of these games. Unfortunately, I guess it's going to have to be Missouri. I'm absolutely not talking about the game that you first talked about because that is now the team that shall not be named with the person that shall not be named. I'm just so freaking sick of that team and that person. Miami. I really like Florida State minus 13.5. I'm wondering if Miami can get up for a 3:30 game in Tallahassee plus 14. I don't know.
I feel like Miami would love nothing more than to ruin Florida State's season. So it's going to be a close, weird game.
I know, but I think Florida State's really good. I've been saying it all year. Yeah. I think that they are as good as we think they are. Gosh, it's going to have to be Missouri. Ah, I hate to say it. It's going to have to be Missouri at home plus 1.5.
What if we make, instead of the, everyone kind of universally agrees what the C word is. What if we make Clemson the new C word? You know? What if we start using it as a pejorative or we just start calling them the C word?
I'm all in because that's how they act and that's how they are. And my buddy's daughter goes there and she was talking smack to me and it really hurt my feelings.
Let me ask you this. I don't think I want anything to do with this game. I just don't know how to perceive it. Michigan at Penn State at noon. Michigan's giving 4.5 points. I feel like there's been a lot of stuff happening with Michigan. I don't trust Penn State. I don't like that it's at noon. I don't like the 4.5 points. I don't know what I can see Michigan winning by 70. I can see them barely winning. I don't know that I can see Penn State winning. I don't know what to make of this.
I think you know what I make of this. Michigan is going to BTA.
Okay.
Not even BTB. Michigan minus 4.5 for a team that hasn't lost a game closer than like 24 points or something ridiculous. Like they're not going to go on the road. All this nonsense that's going on, Michigan's not going to go on the road and be distracted. All of this because their coach is a psychopath in the greatest football sense of the word. Off field, I don't know. We say between the lines on this show. Just kidding. Michigan is going to win by way more than 4.5 points.
Okay. I think I'll ride with you on that. I think you talked me into it. I just need to talk it out a little bit. So I'll bad boys for life on you with that. I'll bad boys for life on that. And then also your parlay. I feel good about both of those.
Heck yeah.
Okay. Before we go to Came Close to the Pin, let's check in with Andre to get his 3-stack pack of picks.
Gentlemen, how we doing? Happy week 11 of college football. Man, what a week 10 we just had. I told you Vegas was laying a couple of traps with some of those fishy lines. But you know, at the end of the day, you really can only help those that listen. On Tuesday, the CFP released their second rankings of the season. No changes to the top four from week one. Kind of have a collision course of undefeated teams, 5 currently, with number 1 versus number 3 playing in a couple weeks. This could turn out to be a pretty easy decision with 4 undefeated teams for the committee, or like always, things work out, maybe a little chaos. A couple of week 11 best bets. We're going to go with the Missouri Tigers plus 1 at home against Tennessee, Georgia Southern minus 2, and Virginia Tech minus 1.5. Lastly, in the game of the week in Athens, Georgia, a top 10 showdown between the hedges.
I think the Dogs take care of business. Mrs. Three Stacks and I are heading down this afternoon. Currently, Georgia's on a 26-game winning streak. They've won 36 regular season games in a row, 25 regular season SEC games in a row, 24 home games in a row, and are currently 42-1 in their last 43 games with back-to-back national championships. At this point in the season, all you got to do is win, baby.
Okay, let's go to Came and Close to the Pin. We are round five. Jason, you are up 3-1 right now. So I really need to make a comeback here if I want to salvage this season of Cameo Close to the Pin. For the purposes of this conversation, we will be, because we discussed Eric Taylor, in our coaching, as the avatar for the Double Hots, we're going to be guessing the cameo price of Buddy Garrity from Friday Night Lights. The actor who played Buddy Garrity is named Brad Leland. What do we think his cameo score is?
I got to tell you, I think that particular individual had no prep to do to be Buddy Garrity.
I agree with you. I agree. And I would honestly, to that point, I would watch a spinoff of just like his life at the car dealership, you know?
Did you ever watch that car dealership show that was like in Arizona? And it was like at the time when like, oh my gosh, what was the parking show? Parking Wars and Storage Wars were going on.
Was it reality or was it like,
yeah, it was reality.
No, see, I would love, because my favorite part of Eastbound and Down was Will Ferrell's character at the dealership. And like, why can't, if we have a show at like a superstore and a paper company, why can't we have one at a car dealership? You know?
Well, they tried this movie-wise with Jeremy Piven. Do you remember this movie?
I do remember that movie. It's not meant to be a movie. It's meant to be a TV show. You know,
the good
characters. Yeah, that needs like season runs, you know, all the melodrama, stuff like that.
Okay, get the writers of, I was going to say A Good Place. That's far from Superstore.
Okay.
That's the team that needs to be doing this car dealership show.
Let's solve two problems here. Remember our really good idea about the spider snot rocket? He works at a car dealership by day.
Thank you. Boom. Advertiser.
Yeah.
At night, daytime, complex situations, allergies, helping people, pollen, allergy medicine, Zyzol, money, everyone.
Evil scientist guy needs a new car. He goes to the dealership. One of his radioactive spiders gets loose. That's how he gets bit on the nose. Boom.
He's one of the guys that, like, you know, when the big pollen happens and then it's just like all over the cars at the car lot, he's the guy that's constantly cleaning all the cars with like the duster and he's just sneezing all the time. And then he gets bit by that guy's spider. And then now he sneezes and he blows up cars.
Okay. Love it. I love it. And we call it Drive to Survive and no one's used that before. So it's
don't you dare.
All right, Brad Leland as Buddy Garrity, what is your cameo guess?
My guess is $75.
Man, I was hovering on 74. I was hovering on 99. I was hovering on 98.
You didn't write it down this time? I usually go first because you write it down. Well, it's too late now. This is, I got to say, you're down 3-1. You didn't write it down.
We can get somebody else and I'll write it down. Let's do Tyra.
No. We're staying here. Because we don't know what's going to happen. But you now have the opportunity to go 74 or 76, which is the only thing that makes sense here. And you claim you were going to go 74.
No, I said I'm hovering around your key numbers, which are usually 175. And I was trying to think which side.
Because my key numbers used to be like $350 and I started losing like a banshee.
I know. That's why I'm like, I was trying to see which side, trying to sense where you're going to be and which side I wanted to be on. Because I feel like under 75 just feels like too little, even though that's just one digit.
I kind of want to stop tracking our guesses because now we have like data that's being documented because we can see each other's guesses. And so my last guesses have been 50, 75, 75, and 99. And before, we wouldn't remember what anybody's guesses were at all before we started documenting this better.
Until you said that, I didn't realize we were tracking our guesses. So I should have been using that. That would have been smarter than just like trying to vibe off it. I'm going to go, you know, honestly, originally I was, because of my logic, I was like 74 feels too low. I was going to go 99 because I thought you were going to go 100. So I'm going to go, I'll go 99. And if we middle it, we middle it. And I'll live to fight another day. Okay. Buddy Garrity. Brad Leland, cameo, close to the pin. You can have him for $199.
Dang.
Which feels like more than I thought. A lot more than I thought.
Is he getting a lot of reviews? That seems like a high price for that individual.
65 reviews, five stars. Okay. He's got
so they're quality videos. He just doesn't do a ton of them.
He does have like Magnum PI mustache a lot.
Yes.
And, but sometimes he goes full beard, but he's always in all black. And Mitch says, Charmin says, I've purchased over 20 cameos, which what? And Brad put in the most effort by far. He gave a candid, thoughtful, reflective, can't read the rest of it. 20 cameos is a lot of cameos, man.
What if they were all with this, with Buddy Garrity?
And it was just, is there a limit to how many times you can make a celebrity say the thing you want to say? Or is it just like, is that the new Black Mirror episode where it's just someone buys your entire day to day for a year?
You just found your new book idea right there.
You have to spend, you accept the money. So you have to spend 8 hours a day, 365 days a year telling me the things I want you to tell me. That's horrifying. But luckily, what's not horrifying is that I'm back in the game. Now we're at 3-2.
And no one is questioning it. And no one is thinking that it's sketchy. Yeah, I agree. That's what I said.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No one thinks that you had an opportunity to go at 99 and get everything over $100 or more.
Sure.
Small gap to me, and I only got 75 below. No one is talking about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we agree on that. I'm glad you're reiterating that. That makes sense. That's good. Okay. That's going to do it for this episode of Underachievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagram, or just talking about it out loud around other people you know. That's the best way to help us out. And it makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb and the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and the calls start coming. Head to the wounds and I hit the ground running. It didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with it in the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey girl, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play, play out. You're a rock star, get the show on. Yeah, hey, only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and it's big, it's colder. You're bundled up, now wait till you get older. But the media man begs to differ, judging by the hole in the solar light picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The world's getting warm, so you might as well swim. When world's on fire, I'm not yours. That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. All back when the only shooting stars with the moon.